Ready?
Steady.
I assume that means yes. Yeah. Okay. We had discussed Abaye last time. We discussed the big Hakira in terms of what Abaye held. So I think we're up to discussing Rava. So what does Rava say? Rava says, Mikan Labahu Gover, right? You can only collect from now on. Of course, one of the things the Gemara has to address is if it's Mikan Labahu Gover, then how does the whole Shiva thing work, right? The whole point of having a Shiva is that even if you sold it already, I still have the right to collect it from the Lekuchos. So the Gemara says, no problem. Even for Rava, the bottom of no problem for Rava, even if the guy sold it or was makdish it, you can still come take it, even though we can't allow Bahu Gova. So the question is, for Rava, what's pshat? Why, if I'm not Gova Lamafreya, if I only own the karka, we can't allow Haba, meaning when you don't pay me cash, right? When the 60 days are up and you don't pay me, then I get your field. So if it's only from now on, then if you sold your field beforehand, what right do I have to come and take it away from the lokeach? So, Rashi has a very interesting answer to that, right? For Rava, why can I be tori, right? That's confiscated from the lekuchos. Or Hekdesh, right? So what does Rashi answer? Very peculiar Rashi. I think it's a Shidus Yachid of Rashi. He says, because, well, to answer my question, like you're skipping a step, I can take it away from the guy, let's say, Grun owes me money. I can and he sold his field to Chessis. I can take it away from Chessis. Why?
It wasn't really sale.
Because he never sold it in the first place. Exactly. So Rashi says, because the Lovet never sold or makdish it in the first place. Oh, why not? Don't we say, Mikanu Havahu Govet? So it really belongs to the Lovet. Meanwhile, even though it belongs to the Lovet, it was the Ein Rishu. So there's a concept in Bava Kamma called right, that if I steal something from you, neither of us can be makdish. I can be makdish because it doesn't belong to me. And even though you are the rightful owner, you can't be makdish because it's not under your possession or full control. So what Rashi seems to assume is a big chiddush is that even though I'm not gover l'mafreya, according to Rava, still, since I'm about to be Govet this property, since I have a Shibud on this property, therefore it's not under the Lova's full control, even though the Lova owns it and he's actually holding on to it, but it's not under his full control because it's subject to a Shibud to somebody else, and that's a big Kiddush, if that's considered Einu Bershuso, right? That's what Rashi says, because it's Einu Bershuso, that once there's a shibud, that means that I put I'm out to get this land. I have the right to confiscate this land. Once someone else has the right to confiscate this land, you don't have full control. When you don't have full control, you can't make a mekach or a hektish.
Is Rashi also mechayish that this would prevent the mechira from being chal? The Gemara is about hektish.
The Gemara says both.
It's by hektish.
Correct. But if you look at his lashon of Rashi, first of all Rishonim except for one very, very peculiar Ravan say that Hektish and Mechor are the same as far as this goes. That's the Mashmos of the Gemara and Bava Kamma Daf Ayin. But also Rashi says, "Let's the Kulam Amalo Pliga Fil Rav Damar and Achshav Habrishis Lo." Modhu the Ein Mechirasol Achir Mechira the Ein Hektisho Hektish. He says both.
Ein Mechirasol. I was just asking that if that's obvious.
Yeah, it's obvious that Mechor is the same as Hektish for Ein Rishuso. Again, except there's one strange. I thought it was a Ravan. I don't remember. But it's let's call it obvious. Okay, this is a big chiddush. What's the big chiddush here? Right, there's if you really hold like Rashi that according to Rava, the reason you can be torch lekuchos is because it was never sold in the first place, then you have two problems, which the ksos addresses. You have to tie up two loose ends. What are the two problems that the ksos has to explain and maybe even get into a little bit dachuk with Rashi? Number one,
we see the
loan of hand selling. We see that, I mean, people owe money, they sell things, and they pay their debts like normal people with cash, and no one ever undid all transactions, right? So clearly, if he does pay his debt in the end, right, then it is a valid mekach, and it is a valid hektish. Otherwise, almost, you know, who was totally clear of debt? No, there would be no mekach or mekach, and no hektish. So number one, what are the two questions the ksos asks? Number one, why is it a mecher if he pays in the end? And what is the ksos answer?
That it really is not a permanent sale until the shasta.
Right, correct. That it's not really a sale until he pays. Right, the ksos answer is that the mecher is chal only when he pays. Now, of course, we know the mecher is not only chal when he pays. It's chal the whole time. So you have to say it's chal when he pays limafreya, and it's not a davar shlobo liolam because it's biyado. Right? He says, even though when he's selling it, basically he's selling something he doesn't have rights over yet. Anytime I owe Shmuley money and I sell my field, I'm selling something which is not for Shusi, which I don't have the right to sell. What I'm saying is that I'm selling it for when I pay off my debts, then it's valid. So I'm selling it to be chal when I pay off my debts, but I'm afraid of it now. And the assumption is either it's the Darshan Bolin, I can't sell something when I get it later, but in cases where it would be easy for me to get it, biyado. And here, paying your debt, that's considered a biyado. So, you can't sell a davar shlo bali olam, and many of you should have assumed that when you can sell a davar shlo bali olam, you can even sell it to be chal l'mafreya when the time comes. So that's what you have to say. Anyone who owes money, who sells anything, is only selling it when they pay their debts l'mafreya. And that's why normal transactions seem to work. The second question.
What does that do to the buyer of the said property? Meaning, is he a shoel from the balcho?
Well, if in the end the guy pays his debts, then l'mafreya, he's a buyer.
For those 30 days?
Within those 30 days, he's sort of in limbo, and within those 30 days, he is in limbo, and he may or may not be a buyer, and if in the end the guy doesn't pay his debts, the Baal Chov comes, then it turns out he wasn't a buyer. It turns out that he was just, I guess, a borrower, or maybe, you know, just
reinforce the halacha implications of...
Well, there aren't really halachic implications for karka. We go to the case of Metalfel. It's not clear. Is he a borrower? Is he just someone who's holding on to it? You know, that would be a good question. I'm not sure.
And again, this answer works for Hektish?
Yeah. This answer works also for Hektish. In terms of Dov Shlo Bolin, also the Gemara seems to equate them. The second question he has is based on Rashi and Lamed Aleph, right? Rashi and Lamed Aleph is the famous question. If we say that if the guy's mocked or something, I can go mitoreif, what about the famous rule of Hektish comes to Shifron Kivide Shibud, right? That an Isra Hanah like Hektish, or a Chalos Kedusha Nagavra like Shifron of an Eved, and likewise all the Isra Hanah, like the Gemara talks about how Tachricha Ameis is also an Isra Hanah, or if I'm not to something, that beats the Shibud. We just said the Shibud beats Hektish. Don't we know that the Hektish beats the Shibud? So 90% of the Rishonim all answer like Rashi here. What do they answer? Exactly, that Kedusha's Damim is what I can go and Tori from Hektish, but Kedusha's Agav, once it's Chal forever. That is the 90% of Rishonim, you know, give that answer, and that's the accepted answer. So, what does the Ktos say according to Rashi? According to Rashi, Kedusha's Agav is Mafkim Adei Shibud. What's the question? How can I be Makdish Dabar She'eno Vershuso? With Kedushas Agof. How can you ever have a hate tits of Kedushas Agof of Kiyami De Shibud? Right, what does Kedushas Agof mean? All the guy has that's Meshubit is one thing, it's a cow, and he's Machin of Kedushas Agof. Now the guy, the creditor can't get his money back. But what do you mean? It was never Hektish in the first place. So what tremendous Kedushas that so have to be Mechadish?
You don't need Rishus like Mechadish.
Exactly. What's his diuk in the pasuk? That well, the pasuk al pi the drasha. How do we know you need davar shiver shuso to be makdish? Because it says ish ki yakdish. No, not so long ago. Ish ki yakdish beso kodesh lashem. Right. Ma beso b'shuso, av kol b'shuso, right? Just like beso, it's not only yours, but it's like your house, you're living here, it's under your full control, likewise everything. Okay, so what's the idea for the k'tos? He says, beso, after all, hektish of bias is k'dushas ha'go for k'dushas damim. Obviously, k'dushas damim, right? Meaning, k'dushas ha'go, I'll be pashtus, let's assume, k'dushas ha'go is only shayif to things you're makrav on the mizbeah. Right, k'dushas ha'go means the actual guf itself is used for the Beis HaMikdash. As opposed to Kedush Damim means that they could sell it and use the money to buy something else. So the only things that are really Kedush HaGuf generally are Karbanos. That's the standard assumption. Everything else, you know, like if you're Makdash a hammer, that's Kedush Damim. They might decide to use the hammer to build a new wall in the Azara, but, you know, they might also decide when they're finished to sell it and build then buy some bricks or whatever it may be. So, a bias is always Kedushas Damim. So the Ketzos has a tremendous Kiddush, and it's Ketzos that Kedushas HaGuf is not in the Pasuk, doesn't require Birshu. So, the Ketzos doesn't make it sound like such a big Kiddush. What does he say? He says, sounds like a big Kiddush, but then I found it in, what was it, a Rivush and a Tosus Rush. That problem is, I think in the fancy ones, the footnotes, they point this out for... those who don't have time to look everything up, but it's not in the Rivush, it's not in the Tosfos Rush. The Rivush says nothing of the sort. The Tosfos Rush says nothing of the sort. There's one line, which is not clear what it means, but it doesn't sound like this. So the Tosfos really has no Makor in the Rishonim for this, and has to make up this big, big, big Chiddush to explain Rashi. Okay, the Svar for this Chiddush, I think we mentioned previously, makes sense based on things we've learned earlier, but it's still a big Chiddush.
And just on how to understand the Tosfos that he mentioned things that aren't found. Does in his case, he obviously did have it there. So he wasn't making it up.
Right, so it's... I hear your kasha, and it could be that his... either that he had a slightly different girsa, or that he understood it in a way that most people don't understand it.
There's some comment in some...
No, he tells you exactly what he's looking at, where he gets it from. But it could be that he somehow had a different gersa or understood it that way, or sometimes you have to just say Tzarevian. Anyway, you can look it up yourself. You can decide what you think. But at the very least, if you had just read that, you wouldn't have thought that that's what it meant. I think that's pretty clear. Anyone, if there was no ktos, I don't think you would have thought this. So, okay, that's a Kiddush you have to say to defend Rashi. You have to say all these things to defend Rashi, who makes a big Kiddush and calls a Dabra Meshuvah an Eino Bershuso, according to Rava. That's all Rashi's derech. However, that's all Rashi's derech. Now, why does Rashi take this derech? Not so clear. I wish I could prove. I would like to prove why Rashi, well, first you have to say what the alternative is, right? So far, the reason why Rashi takes his derech is because we haven't told you an alternative yet, so of course he would. What's the alternative? The alternative is, who says explicitly that it is Shalom and Bershuso of the Loveh? Who says it is Bershuso of the Loveh and he can sell it and he can be Makadish it? Tosin and Gittin against Rashi, right? Tosin and Gittin, he knows that you could say either way theoretically. He wonders. Right? He says, what's the meaning of Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas Damim? If it's Shalom and Bershuso, and he has no hami like Bitzos. If it's Shalom and Bershuso, then he can be Makdashit. If it's not Bershuso, he can't be Makdashit. You know, he's not willing to go the Kedushas way. So what does he decide in the end? He says, I have to pick. Either it's Bershuso, and he can be Makdashit, or Shalom Bershuso, and he can't be Makdashit. And which way does Tosos pick? Bershuso, and I think everyone agrees with Tosos here. I haven't gone through everyone and made a list of the exact places, but the stam of the assumption we shown in our pronoun is like Tosif. Tosif says that really the Lover can sell and Makdish. It is Bershuso. Oh, if he can sell and be Makdish, then what right do I have to go and take it away from Lakuach and take it away from Hekdish? So Tosif really isn't even bothered. Oh, it's on the sheet I give out. He's not even bothered why I can take it away from Lakuach. He's bothered more, how can I take it away from Hekdesh? So what does he say? So then, what rights do I have to take it away from Lakuach and Hekdesh?
It's like
Pidyon. The answer is because it's like, what does he say? He says that I have, that's what a Sheba means. A Sheba means that he sells it, but I still have the right to take it away. And he compares this. He says, what's the difference in Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas HaDamim? Right? Let's take for Rashi, what's the difference in Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas HaDamim? Is that Kedushas HaGuf is Chal, and Kedushas HaDamim is not Chal. For Tosos, what's the difference in Kedushas HaGuf and Kedushas HaDamim? Is that Kedushas HaGuf is Chal and can't be removed? Why is Kedushas HaGuf beat the Sheba? Because you can't undo Kedushas HaGuf. Vaharaya, what can't you do for Kedushas HaGuf? Yeshua? Poda, you can't be Poda Kedushas HaGuf, right? The classic litmus test of Kedushas HaGuf as opposed to Kedushas Damim is it a bar pidyon or not? Right? So you can't be Poda Kedushas HaGuf. However, Kedushas Damim is like Mecher. That's how. And it can be removed. Because we know you can remove Kedushas Damim. You can be Poda Kedushas Damim. What is Tosfos? You can be Poda Kedushas Damim. And then, he says, in the end, he says, what the Vart? The Kedushas HaGuf came to Chayla Sulo Paka. Kedushas HaGuf is never Paka. Aval Kedushas Damim lo alim ko hechtim ko machtish. But in Kedushas Damim, the Hektish has no more rights in Kedushas Damim than the Machtish gave them. Vaharaya, right? What's the Raya from 2 days ago's Parsha? That when I'm Machtish something, Kedushas Damim, Hektish has no more rights than I had. That if you're Machtish A, stay Mikna, right? If I buy your field, I'd have to give back to you in Yovel. If I'm Machtish it, Hektish has to give it back to you in Yovel. Why? Rashi says there, because I can't be Machtish more rights than I had. Meaning, the Kedushas Damim can be removed, just like the Mecher can be removed. Why? What removes it? Because unlike Kedushas HaGuf, which is permanent, Kedushas Damim is temporary. But who decides when it ends? Fine, Kedushas Damim is temporary. But all right, you can do Pidyon. But here you didn't do Pidyon. Right? Leaving aside Yeshua's Hara. Here you didn't do Pidyon. The answer is no. Kedushas Damim, there's no Pidyon that proves it can never be Paka. Sorry, Kedushas HaGuf, there's no Pidyon proves it can never be Paka. Kedushas Damim can be Paka. What makes it be Paka? The answer is look at the Chumash. If I only had something with limited rights temporarily, then I can only be Machtish those limited rights temporarily. And I can only sell those limited rights temporarily. So, Kedushas Damim and Nechor can be removed because the Lokea or Hektish is no stronger than the Lova. Just like the Lova, he had full ownership, Shalom Bershuso. But there was a Sheba, which was a way that he could lose it, right? He had an obligation to give it up under certain circumstances. Likewise, he's Machtish it or sell it. He Machtish or sell it with that Sheba, with that obligation to give it up under certain circumstances, because he can only sell his own rights. And this is the conventional understanding, unlike Rashi. It's not that he can't sell it. Of course he can sell it. But he can only sell, like Tosfos says in the end, he can only sell as many rights as he had in the first place. So if he had it with a Sheba on him, then he can sell it with the Sheba on it. And therefore, the Hektish and Lokeach has to give it up. That's the regular way people understand it.
So according to Rashi, that there is no Hektish, why is the Kitzos bothered by how you can be Makdish?
Because he admits in Kedushas HaGuf there's Hektish, because Kedushas HaGuf takes away the Sheba. Rashi is talking about Kedushas Damim. Okay, so the traditional understanding is the Lova can sell and be Makdish, but the buyer or Hektish, right, is still bound by the Shibud, because I can only sell as many rights as I had, and therefore I can sell them. The buyer and Hektish is still bound by the Shibud. That's the way most people understand. Rashi is a big chiddush. Why would Rashi say such a chiddush? I'm not sure. Perhaps Rashi thought that it's a little tricky. Perhaps Rashi thought that, no, you couldn't like undo Kedushas Damim either, just because you had a sheep. But maybe Rashi thought Kedushas Damim is also not paka. It's not so pasha. It seems to be, I mean, maybe it's of our pinyon. Maybe pinyon is different. It sounds from Damim like Dafkav Tes, like Kedushas Damim could be paka, but maybe Rashi understood that Kedushas Damim also, once it's chal, couldn't be removed. And that's why he had to say it was never chal in the first place. But I haven't found a Rashi somewhere else that fits that, so it's just maybe the reason he wanted to say this mechudish pshat, because he thought once Kedushas Damim is chal, it can't be paka bichdi. But I have no evidence for that. Yeah, sure.
Doesn't Rashi say, and I'll still get that
the hekdesh comes to shechur, yeah. Maybe he thinks that's because never chal, right? But anyway, so I can't say for sure. I know why Rashi took the mechudish shot and not the mainstream shot. This is the mainstream shot. The mainstream shot is that, but it's still bound by the shibud. It is sold, but it's still bound by the shibud. Now the this brings up. I mean, especially for Tosfos and the mainstream shot, a famous hakira in the Achronim about what's the nature of the shibud that binds it, right? So, what's the nature of the shibud? So this is
Is that between the Tosfos or?
I think for Rashi would probably lean more towards one side, which I'll mention.
Choosing to go
to
because he's the most mainstream regular.
Right, right. Now, there's a famous line in the Ritva that all the modern day, or they call them Rosh Hashivas, pick up on. He says the Ritva said in Kedushin, it's number 6 on the Makor sheet I gave out. But time is Vandar Mishbud Lav Doraisa. Why is there one Mandar that Shiva is not Doraisa? He says, because you can't have a half Kenyan. V'shiva kinyan lachatzon, and shiva is a half kinyan. Lochay la nechzi de istu mishas alvan. It's not chal even on the property owns now. Kol shein is not chal on davar shlo boli. Olam a nechzi dekana achas shlova on the stuff he's going to buy later. Shein on makan davar shlo boli shuso. Okay, v'kemen shakein kol zmanshin nechasim reshuso kovin asol for lekayim tzaso. And if there's no shiva to be doraisa, of course, as long as he's holding on to his property, we force him to use it to pay his debts because you have to pay your debts. Lokshin is roken nechasim liyorsal. Lekuchos einam a din ligozayim kal filim v'shtar. But if they transfer to the Yorshim of the Kuchos, then midoraisa, you shouldn't take them at all, even for a milva b'shtar. Except then he explains that midorabanan and a milva b'shtar, they made a shibud. So what does he say? He says that shibud is kinyan lachatzoin. It's a half kinyan. Now, of course, he's talking about mandar shibud lav doraisa, right? But that's the question: is this true in mandar shibud doraisa? Is shibud a partial kinyan? Maybe shibud is a partial kinyan. What partial kinyan? It doesn't mean that it's half mine. It doesn't mean that it's half mine. Not that kind of partial kinyan. It means l'chora a partial kinyan in the object for the rights of piraon. Right? Partial kinyan. Right? Kinyan l'inyan piraon. I own the rights in this object to collect my debt from it. Right? The kinyan la'inyan piron. I own the rights to collect my debt from this object. And that's a real kinyan in the object. In which case, Rava would be awfully similar to Rav Shimon Shkup's version of Abaye. It would be almost the same.
Why do you have to call it a kinyan? I mean, we know he's able to be programmed from the Latin thing.
That excellent point. This is a subtle chakira, although I think, besides being famous, it's an important chakira. When I have a shibud, what's the difference? I have the right to collect this. The question is that right to collect this an ownership? Do I own part of this property and that's going to be the right to collect it, or I own nothing of this property? It just so happens that, is it a bailus, or is it not a bailus? And we'll see that I think there are nafkaminas to that, whether it's a bailus or not. So it could be, and that's the Ritva seems to apply at least at the beginning, then at the end we discuss him on the Rishibud Doraisa, he is not so clear whether he's saying that that it really is a Hakanah or it's not a Hakanah. But it could be that it's a real bailus. I have partial bailus, and then it makes a lot of sense. You could sell it, but you're only selling your part of the bailus, not my part of the bailus. So you're selling your part of the bailus, which is to have everything if it's not necessary to pay your debt. And I'm keeping my part of the bailus, which is that it should be used to pay my debt. In the yeshivas, they usually say the other side of this chakira. What's the other side of this chakira? The other side of this chakira is that, no, I don't own anything in your field. Now, when I have a sheba, I don't own anything in your field. If I don't own anything in your field, then why, if you sell it, can I still take it away from the other guy? So you have to say, even though I don't own anything in your field, this field is linked to you, and even if you sell it, you can't get rid of that kesher. That the yeshivas, they call the Arif. They base it on the Gemara number 7, which says about Vasa, right, a certain Dayan, who before actually suing the guy and asking him to pay, just took from his property that he took from his property. And he said, what do you mean? Why are you taking his field when you didn't even ask him to pay? He says the property is just an Arif, it's just the guarantor of the Lova. But you can't. The halacha is, Persians held differently, but Jewish halacha is that you can't go to the guarantor unless you give the guy a chance. You ask the guy to pay first. So you have to ask him to pay first, and then you go and you you take the shibud from his nechassim. So now it's not so clear what arid means. Arid might also be a real eschayvus, but they say it might be an actual bailus, or it might be no. It might not be a kinyan at all. Just that the nechassim, or the neches, right, the property, is linked to the lova as an orev. Really, I don't own anything in this property. However, this property is stuck with its connection to its owner, to its original owner. It's stuck with this connection, even if you sell it. You can only sell it with that connection intact. And therefore, if the owner doesn't pay, then I can go and demand for the property. It's a little anthropomorphic. But it's saying I don't own anything in the property now. It's just that there's a mitzvah that this property is connected to this guy. And therefore, if the guy doesn't pay, I can go to the property. Are the Arif? Yeah, that's what I just read from Basra Kofayin Dalar Aleph, which is number 7 of the sheet I gave out. It says that Arif. Now, okay. Saying it's an Arev might mean that I actually do have a Kenyan in it. But nonetheless, that Kenyan is my second line of attack, not my first line of attack. But I mean that, no, I don't have any Kenyan in this property. Right, this a little bit depends on how human Arevs work. Like, does the human Arev really owe me just as much as the original guy, or is he just a backup? Does he owe me just as much as the original guy, but it's proper to go to the original guy first? That's the Seder Hadvarim. Or does he really not owe me at all? He just has a link to this guy, which is its own chakira. So it might be, is it a kinyan, v'miktas, or an arev? A nafkamina of this chakira, look over, you would think, is if a shibud is a real kinyan, or a shibud is not a real kinyan, so that you owe me the money, and this property is linked to you, a nafkamina, the achronim mention is, can I sell a shibud nechassim? Right? Can I sell a shibud nechassim? If it's really a partial ownership, a mixed kinyan in your property, then I should be able to sell it. What? Yeah. Can the malveh, good? Can the malveh sell the shibud nechassim? What?
It's linked to the malveh, not the malveh.
No. This property, since you borrowed money, it was your property. This property is your arev, and even if you sell it, it's still, even if it moves around from place to place or from bailus to bailus, it's still your arev. So this is a big machlokes rishonim. Can I sell my shibud nechassim or not? Obviously, I can't sell like the whole field. That only a bailus says I can do. But can I sell the shibud nechassim? Can I sell the right to collect from this field? So if you look at number 8, Tosfos Ksuvos Hamad Beis says, how can you sell a debt? Debish, how can the malva sell his IOU? Debish, lamashesh, the lova, karkos, mochalo, also, shivashesh, lova, karkos. Says Bishlama, of course, if I have a Shiva Nechasim on you, let's say Grun owes me money and he has a house. Of course I can sell the Shiva on his house. His only problem is, K'she'in lo klama mochelo. But if you don't own a house, then what am I selling? And then he says it must be only Durabanan. So what does he say? He says, yeah, if you don't own a house, then I can only sell your IOU me Durabanan. But if you do own a house, I can sell the Shiva Nechasim. So the Re and Tosin Suba says it's the Rapashut that I can sell the Shivan Nechasim. Of course, if you own money and you own a house, I can sell the Shivan on that house. Right? That seems to indicate that I really own something in that house. As opposed to, if you just skip to 10 for a second, Rabbeinu Yonah and Bava Basra on the Sugi Mechira Shtaro says, V'oteda dein osios niknos v'kinyan. Dakin in my vite, I'll prove to you that you can't make a kinyan, you can't sell a shtar. Osios means a shtar chov. I can't sell you the karka that's meshuva to me, because it's not mine now. Right? We hold that grub and we can't love all go over. I don't own anything yet. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, what do you mean? We can't love all go over. I don't own anything yet. So what does the Re say? The Re also knows we pass me can't love all go over. He also knows how love like rub against the bay except for Yalka Yam. So the answer is, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, I don't own anything yet. We can't love all go over, so I own nothing. Why can I collect the Shiva? That's because you owe me the money, and there's a special rule that this property backs you up. But I don't own anything. What does the Re think of Tosin Subas? The Re apparently thinks, I don't own the property yet, but I do own this mixas kinyan called a Shiva. So even though I can't sell the property, I can sell the Shiva. So it could be that they're arguing about this Hakira. Rabbeinu Yonah says, there's nothing I can sell. What can I sell? I don't own anything. A Shiva's not something I own. That's just a fact, a background information. While the Re thinks that I can sell a Shiva, because even though I don't own the Karka yet, I do own the Shiva.
But only when there's Karka.
Yeah. Only when there is Karka. I can't own a Shiva on Nechasim if there's no Nechasim. Right? Because what you pass is no Shiva on Metalpolin. Mm-hmm. So if you have no Karka, then there's nothing for the Shiva to be on. Right, Lamaisa, if you borrow money from me and you have no property, then there's no Shiva, it's Nechasim. Right, there's like an idea there's Shiva Nechasim. There could have been a Shiva Nechasim, but there isn't. Tosas and Babasra, Davayin Vavavaz, is a little bit less clear. He says, Beferek Mishameis, Mashem Nechir Shtar Lohavim Yelim Drabanan. Okay, that itself is controversial. In Tomar, Maid Lokonim Yidoraisa, Kam Shiva Dakarka Ksubo. Why can't you sell Shiva Dakarka Midoraisa? Dakarka Nikmes Dakarka Shtar Vachazaka. Why can't I buy the Shiva Karka with Kesef Shtar and Chazaki without handing you over the Shtar? No, look at our Gemara. I can't be Makdish the Karka. I also can't sell the Shiva Karka. He also assumes I can't sell the Shiva Karka. His Lashem is a little unclear. He says, Eino Bershuso. I don't know if that means like Shalova Eino Bershuso, and he thinks that really I do own the Shiva Karka, I just can't sell it. Or if it means Eino Bershuso is just like a quick way of saying Eino Shalal. So I'm not sure what Tosos in Bava Basra means. He clearly says I can't sell it, but so what he might mean is I can't sell it because it's not mine. Or he might mean, if you're Medayik his Lashem, it is mine, it's just not for Shusi, so that's why I can't sell it. But then he thinks I really have a Kenyan. Just as a Kenyan, it's not. That's not Bershusi. So maybe Tosos Bava Basra says no, but only because it's Shalom Ve'enu Bershuso. I'm just not sure how much he medayik. Should I medayik? He thinks I do own a Shiva Karka. It is something I own. It's just not Bershusi. It's not under my control, so I can't sell it. Or is he really saying like Rabbeinu Yonah? It's not something I own, and he's just using the Lashon in a general sense, and therefore I can't sell it. I'm not sure. I know Rav Shimon Shkab, my Rav Takinyanim, wanted to say that it's Shalom Ve'enu Bershuso. Says that's not close to my Rava. Rava held, I have this mixed kinyan which is Shalom Ve'enu Bershuso, and if I held the mixed kinyan is Shalom Ve'enu Bershuso. So this is also definitely what, if you can put modern day Achronim together with Rishonim, why not? And go to Rav Shimon Shkab, put the gimel there so you won't think it's the Rishash from the back of the Gemara. Rav Shimon Shkab also thinks that a Shiva is something I own. I do own a mixed kinyan. I just can't sell it because I have a technical problem with it. It's not Rishusi. There are a few more, other inyanim that come up here in terms of the nature of a shibud. For example, the Ketzos has a very interesting machlokas of the Maharit here in number 11. The Gemara has a suffix. Can you be Meshave Dover Shlo Boli Olam? What's that called? Dachmi, right. If you ever, right, listen to the Ksuba, you'll find that word, although the grammar is used a little differently there. It says Dachmi Uda Asadani Lumikni, just to make sure that it is very clear. If I own a field and I borrow money from Daniil, there's a Shibud. What if I borrow money from Daniil and then I buy a field? Too late, there's no Shibud. What if I say, I'm Meshave the things I'm going to buy? I'm a Shabbat, the Dover Shlo Boli Olam that I'm going to buy. Does that work or not? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara and Bava Basra, and we paskin that the Akni works. You can be a Shabbat, the Dover Shlo Boli Olam. So, says the, why can you be a Shabbat, the Dover Shlo Boli Olam? Why can you be a Shabbat, the Dover Shlo Boli Olam? So if you look at number 11, the Ketzos brings a machlokas, where Isa Shot Ma'arit, etc., Shehivdol Dover Shlo Boli Olam, Lid Dover Shlo Boli Olam. It says, I can be Meshaved a field that I didn't buy yet, but I can't be Meshaved myself to pay a person who wasn't born yet. Lain Yeshiva, Vizel Shon Vol Dami, the Fish Long Shon Dover Inbol Olam, Sheyef Shalak Nosu Bikinyon, even if the field doesn't exist yet, and I can't be Makna it, I can still make a Shivad, why? L'Sheyav Lo Nishayim Litin Lo. Shivad Achayim La'gufa V'gufa Yisrael Olam. He says, what's the nature of a Shivad? He says, a shibud is not really chalos in the property. A shibud is chalos in my guf. What am I saying? That when I buy this field, I will use it to pay my debts. And apparently then it sticks, even if I sell the field to someone else. They say shibud. He says, why can I make a shibud on a Dover Shlo Boli Olam? Because it's not really selling you the object. It's really a din in me. And I'm in the olam. Therefore he says that I can't make a shibud. I'll pay a baby who wasn't born yet because he's not in the olam. So the Maharit says, why can I make a Shibud and Dover Shlo Boli Olam? Because it's really, it's a din in my obligation. It's not a din in the karka. And what did the so say? Omnam da, the high Shibud is the Akni, the emes lavdar Torah. Midoraisa imlan lokal yukini l'shibud. So it says, no way. There's no way the Akni can work midoraisa. No way midoraisa I can make a Shibud and Dover Shlo Boli Olam. Why? Look at his lashon. There's no difference in kinyan and Shibud. Right? The Maharit thinks there's a big difference. Ella, the Shiva da'ak, the Mahani, Haini, Midirei, Sofrim, Shlotin, Oldelis, Bifnei, Lovin. And then he quotes this Taka Rashbam like that. What's the fundamental machlokas? I can't make a Kinyan on Dabashlo Boli Olam. Why can't I make a Shibud on Dabashlo Boli Olam? Right? Shibud on Dabashlo Boli Olam. So what does the Ketzos say? He says, Ein Lechalik Ben Kinyan L'Shibud. Shibud Kinyan, same thing. Now, okay, he might just mean Shibud Kinyan, everything's the same thing. It sounds like he's comparing Shiva specifically to Kenya. The Ketzos would say, what does the Ketzos say? Ein lechalek bein Kenyan l'shibud. Don't tell me Shiva is different than Kenyan. If I'm being Meshavet and Dover Shlo Boli Olam, I'm being Machna and Dover Shlo Boli Olam. Oh, why does it work? So he say, it's only valid mi d'rabbanan shalotin oldelos nifnei lovin, because people wouldn't give loans and they couldn't have Shiva da'akni, therefore they made it valid. However, what does the Maharit say? The Maharit said the Shibud is not a Kinyan on the Karka. It's a Din on the Gavra. Said that's why I'm Shabbat Dover Shlo Boli Olam. I'm not making a Kinyan in this Karka. I'm not giving you this Karka. I'm extending my obligation that I am chayav to pay you. I am even chayav to integrate this karka into my obligation to pay you. I'm even chayav to use this karka to pay you. So it's not really that the karka, you get a kinyan in the karka. No. It's just that my obligation is not just I'll personally pay you, I'll even make my property pay you. And therefore, even after I sell my property, it's still linked to this obligation. It's still an aray for me. And that property still has to be used to pay the debt. So I think that the lashon of Maharit and the Ketzos is very clear. Ketzos is exactly like a Kinyan. No way you can work for Dover Shlo Boli Olam. Must be Derabbanan Shlo Tzinol Delos Bli Lovin. Maharit says, what do you mean Kinyan? I'm not doing anything with the Karka. I'm talking about how broad my obligation is to you. I'm talking about as a gabra, how many means I'll use to make sure you get your debt. I'm not giving you any rights to this karka. I'm giving myself an obligation to extend the tentacles of paying this debt to all property that I own or that I will own. Why doesn't it work on metalfilin? So, many Rishonim hold that midoraisa does work on metalfilin. It's just that midorabanan, they took it away from metalfilin because of Pesedid Lekuchos, because, well, it's actually not so good. It could be that they took it away from metalfilin because otherwise no one's going to be able to keep track of who the metalfilin is and it won't be practical. Or it could be, this is what I think many Rishonim assume, that it doesn't apply to metalfilin because no one really thinks they're going to collect the metalfilin anyway, because you can always hide them. Karka, you can't hide. So since no one really thought you would pay me with these, but no one really thought they would collect the metalfilin anyway, because you could always hide your metalfilin. Mice, well, young people do that, right? So bank accounts and even real metalfilin just move someplace else. So therefore, we never agreed to this obligation.
Well, that's not the case. Why, because you might hide your money, do I not still hope to be able to get your money if you don't hide it?
I could hope, but it's not a realistic hope. So there's no smichas das. So there's no smichas das, maybe that doesn't create this, did it create a real obligation? Or can you? You need smichas das. Whichever it is, you need smichas das.
Yeah, I'm really worried you're going to hide everything you own, that I can't take anything from you but your land.
No, you'll just hide all the valuable parts that I might want to collect. No, for sure. You won't hide the ashpa and the, you know, dirt on your floor and, you know, and the hay you were going to feed your horses and, you know, your klicheres, etc., and the half-eaten bag of croutons in your pantry. That I'm not worried about. But you'll hide all the stuff that a person would really want to be gobe. What do people do? You know, that's what people do. What do people do who don't want to pay their debts? They make sure that they have no karka under their name, right? And what about the mortgage? So they make sure they have no karka under the mortgage in the first place. They stick the metalfilin, and then the metalfilin put in a bank account in someone else's name or offshore, and they, you know, sell all their stuff, etc. Or they, you know, even if you know they own a certain metalfilin, they'll sell it to someone else, take the money, and put it into a bank account in their wife's name. You know, and go cash them. Buy some cholyom. You've never tried to collect the debt.
No, I understand, but this is like what the honest person does. No.
Typical normal honest person, you don't have to worry about collecting the debt. Anyway, okay, it doesn't bother me. Lemaisa, this one I have, of course. There are other issues that tie into this. One of them is the role of Maisa Kinyan in Shibud. Do you need a Maisa Kinyan to create a Shibud or not? And this is a big hakira. The Rav pointed out to Machlokes Rishonim in Gittin Daf. What is it? Kaf Aleph. I think it was Kaf Aleph on the days, but I might be wrong. Yeah, Taka, I was wrong. It was the bottom of Kaf days. Is a shtar mecher, what are the two kinds of shtaras? Right, the Rav likes to talk about this, but those are just common sense. There's a shtar kinyan, like I hereby sell you my land and I give you a piece of paper, that's a shtar that does a kinyan. Right, it might not be a raya. Okay, the simple shot is, even if I just give you a typewritten piece of paper that says I sell you my land and it doesn't prove that it's really for me, but it does the kinyan. How to prove it? If you want to prove it, then you should have asked for Edom. And then there's something called a shtar raya. You know, we hereby testify that X, Y, and Z happened, and that doesn't make the kinyan, that makes a raya. Is a shtar halva a shtar kinyan or a shtar raya? What's a simple shot? Shtar halva is a shtar raya, right? The halva happened with or without the shtar, right? The shtar is just a raya. Why do you owe me money? What makes you owe me money is that I lent you money. The shtar is just for a proof. However, this is a big machlok, because it could be 2 days. In Tosos, someplace, the Tosos Rid, and Gittin Daf Kaf and Beis says that a shtar, halva is a shtar kinyan. The Rav loved this idea. If you look in Rosh Hashanah's country's been used shtaris, and Eretz Tzvi, and all the other, as far as the Rav and Gittin, he makes a big deal of this. He says, no, a shtar is a shtar kinyan. What's the kinyan? It's a kinyan on the Shibud Karka. Shtar is one of the ways of selling Karka. So, now it could be that midoraisa kesef would have also been a good enough kinyan, but midrabanan, they said milvalpeh, there's no there's no Shiva. So they say you have to use Kinyan Shtar. So that could also tie into this whole idea, which is, do you need a Kinyan to create Shibudim? So, if Shibudim really were a Kinyan, then you would probably say yes, and this is the Tosos Rid in Gittin Daf Kof and Beis, who says that a Shtar Halva equals a Shtar Kinyan. And the Rav explains, like, Shtar Kinyan on the Shibudim, you need to be Machna the Shibudim, it's not enough to just agree. While if it was not really a Kinyan at all, then you would probably say no. This ties into also the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf and Dalet, sounds like Kinyan Agav works for Shibudim. That's, but Ein Kam Makom Laharif with this. It could be, I just wanted to end by pointing out a famous Reb Chaim. Right? A famous Reb Chaim. Someone want to volunteer to hand out the famous Reb Chaim? Which famous Reb Chaim? Oh, no, of course, you know, right?
No.
Right, there's a famous Reb Chaim who seems to be dealing with this Hakira and saying a very, very fascinating finish to answer a Kasha of Tosfos. What's the Kasha of Tosfos? If you look at number 12, Tosfos is a famous Kasha of Shvuos. Aim of being carbonal fear Shvuos, Shiva Dokos, right? Rav Yochanan and many Amorim hold that not only, as we know, there's no Shvua and there's no Karban, meaning the Asham Zelos, or what we call Shvuos HaBikadon, right? There's no Shvua, and if you do, you're not chayav to take a Shvua Bebezdin if you're Motiv Miktas or Shomer or Edefa, etc. And even if you do take a false Shvua Bebezdin, there's no Chiyuv Karban on Karka. And Rabbi Yochanan holds even Shivan Karka. So Tosa is an obvious Kasha. Tema for Rabbi Yochanan Gufi is so far as Shvua Do Raisa. Hold on. Rabbi Yochanan holds that Mida Raisa, every loan has a Shibud. Right? There's a Machlokas in Bava Basra. One man number says, Shibud is the Rabbanan. Mida Raisa, there's no Shibud, but the Rabbanan put a Shibud when you write a Shtar. The other day it says, no, Shibud is the Raisa. Mida Raisa, every loan has a Shibud. The Rabbanan took it away if you don't write a Shtar. Right? Everyone agrees, Lamaisa, you need a Shtar and have a Shibud. The M came, he says, hold on, from Yochanan's Shibud is the Raisa, I feel about Peh. Hold on. Shibud is the Raisa means every loan, whether Baal Peh or the Shtar, has a Shibud. If every loan has a Shibud, then anyone who denies a loan, every debt has a Shibud. If every debt has a Shibud, anyone who denies a debt is denying a Shibud. Which means that anyone who denies own money is doing fear Shibud Karkos. So anyone who denies own money is Pater from Shua and Pater from Karban. But the Torah says that people who deny own money are Chayav. Right? So it's a big problem. How can you ever have the Karban of Shua Sa'idus Shua Sa'idus? There's no Karban of Shua Sa'idus if you refuse to give testimony about Shibud Karkos. And there's no carbon of Shua Sa'idus if you refuse to give the guy and swear falsely and refuse to give the guy his money, which you owed to a Shibud Karkos. So if everything is Shibud Karkos, according to Tosos, then how could there ever be a likewise, we don't hold this way. Yochanan says, a shtar with a shibud karkos doesn't have shmitas ksafim. Hold up, him can't feel about pelam shkachlo today. But midaraisa, every loan has shibud karkos. So midaraisa, there's no shmitas ksafim. Basically, the problem is, if you hold that shibud karka counts as karka, and you hold that shibud daraisa, every debt has shibud karka, then everything is karka. Anyone who owes anyone money is karka, and therefore, din of shmita and shvus eidus shvus bikado and the rule of shvus mod mixas and eidaf etc. don't apply, but they can't be. The Torah says they do apply.
Why didn't you make a shvun karka?
I'm not going to answer that question. Xeris akasav. I'll say xeris akasav for now. If I tried to answer that question, would I be able to do much better? Not clear. Let's say xeris akasav. The chayim per kamad bavim tziyav motiv miktas per kakose v'isa nami hasan gavi yinecha dinu shvav kiyushim. This is all these dinim in the Torah don't apply. L'man der shvud d'oraisa li'olvam mamash kacha shvua. So what's pshat? How could you ever have shvuas eidah shvuas bikadon shmitas ksafim shvuas eidecha shvuas motiv miktas? How could you ever have any of these dinim for Rabbi Yochanan, who holds he's the one who holds the two shita that add up to a problem shibud d'oraisa, which is even a mil v'alpeh, and Kfir Shimon Karkos counts as Kfir's Karkos. So Tosfos gives a very dumb answer. Tzorach Lomar Dalibei Mashkafas K'shamachal Hashibud. Okay, what is Tosfos' answer? That the only hechitimta of any dinam of Shvua in the Torah is a guy who is mochel the Shibud. Right? You have the right to be mochel the Shibud. So therefore, all the things that the Torah talked about, these Shvuas and Karbonas, etc., we're only discussing a guy who says, I say you owe me $100 and you deny it. And the truth is, you owed me $100 but made a condition that there would be no Shibud. We made a special deal between us, there was no Shibud. For any regular debt, you're putter. You're only chayav if the truth comes out that you owed me the money under a special condition that there would be no Shibud.
Why can there be any case where you only had the talisman and no karka? Is Tosfos assuming that the Shibud is chal on the talisman
midoraisa? That is a machlokes Rishonim. The Rashba holds that Shibud is chal on the talisman midoraisa. Rambam holds it isn't. Ora, this would be a valid view from Tosfos. That he thinks that it's not talking to Rice, or else he could have just said it's a guy who doesn't own karka.
Right, or it could be that Kriya Shibud
Metalpa
is not.
No, because the whole point is that Kriya Shibud karka is like karka, so Kriya Shibud Metalpa is like Metalpa, so that would be fine. Right. So yeah, Tosfos must is a valdia, the Tosfos like the Rashba against the Rambam, that most Rishonim hold that Midoraisa is also Shibud on Metalpa. That's a good deal. Okay, the Ramban gives many, many answers, which we won't go through now, but you can take them home and look at them. The Rav Chaim gives a brisker answer. What does he say? He says, I'm in the middle of a very long piece, which is very interesting in many ways. But the Imkain says, Le'ini Karvet Shvua, Nehida Kfir Shibud Nechasa, Avzil's Kfir's Karka. Granted that Kfir Shibud Karka is like Kfir's Karka. Aval Reyesh Kan Gam Kfir's Etzmachol, Vakhiv Tashlum Shlosh, there you so true, Asa Nehmed and Karka Klal. He says, hold on a second. Anytime I deny owing you money, on the one hand, I'm denying the Shibud Karka. On the other hand, I'm denying the regular chol, which is to pay you money, which is not karka. So hold on, when I owe you money, I'm not only denying the karka, I'm also denying the debt. For rak the shtar who the chashik fi yeshiva karkos. So what does he say? He says, what does Rav Chaim say? That me de oraisa, and this is a very, very brisker thing to say, right? Anyone who's not a brisker would say midoraisa, there's a shibud on both milv v'shtar and milv v'alpeh. So it must be the same thing. Right? Midoraisa, they're all the same. Chaim says, no, midoraisa, there's a shibud on both of them, but that doesn't make them all the same. What does Rav Chaim say? That midoraisa, there's a shibud on a milv v'alpeh and a shibud on a milv v'shtar. But nonetheless, right, Shibud Nechasim. But nonetheless, the Milvah Alpeh is considered Metalpilin, right, because the main thing is the debt of Mamon. Right? It says, Milvah Alpeh, yes, there's a Shibud, but there's the Etzem HaChol. And the Etzem HaChol is what we focus on, and that's Metalpilin. So why in the Shtar don't we say focus on the Etzem HaChol and that's Metalpilin? So yeah. Mishum the Shtar Yishbodin HaKna'a Shibud. What does it say? Shtar is different. That's HaKna'a Shibud. That's Kinyan Shibud. Alkein Zed Mashvil Gamla Etzem HaChol Shibuklal Shibud Karkaos. The Gamla Sharmol, the Enigmar, Kfiris, Zel Zachov, Kiyim Betzira, Kfiris, Zibud Nechasin. So what does he say? He says, you know what? This has Hakna Shibud. What's Rav Chaim saying? Rav Chaim is saying that Milva Bishtar has Hakna Shibud. That's a real Kenyan. That Shibud is a real Kenyan. Bishtar is a star on Karka. That star is a Maisa Kenyan on a Shibud. That's a real Kenyan. As opposed to Milva Balpeh, Mida Oraisa, it has Shibud, but not Hakna Shibud. He's saying that both these sides of Hakira are right. It just depends what kind of Milva you're talking about. Milva Vishtar is Hakna Shibud. Milva Valpeh on the Doraisa level is Shibud without Hakna. Therefore, what does he say? He says, Milva Vishtar is Hakna Shibud. Therefore, the main part is that I've given you over a mixus kinyan in my land. that's the main part of the halvah. Then he said, even if it's not the main part of the halvah, you haven't stolen, you haven't denied it, till you deny this partial kinyan in my land. In Milvah Sheval Peh, once you deny owing me the money, may we'll forget about the land. The land was just a backup to the money. But in Milvah Bishtar, there's a real kinyan on this karka. Until you deny the kinyan of the karka, you haven't denied anything. Therefore, your kfir is really kfir shibud karkaos. That's what he says. That the this is considered karka because you are, at the very least the second time, independently denying my kinyan on your karka. I think what he's saying is that in the middle of the path, you're denying only money. Mainly, if you don't owe me money, so we don't go to the Ari for the karka. But in Kinyan Milvah Bishtar, he says, you're denying that I own a mixed kinyan in your karka. That's real denial of karka, and that's why you are potter from these various dinim. And that's how he answers Tosfos' famous kasha from the Doraisa level, Aliva de Rabbi Yochanan, who, not just theoretically Rabbi Yochanan, it's that a lot of Rishonim actually paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in this. Says Rabbi Chaim's famous chilek, he says Milvah Bishtar is a Shakna Shibud, Milvah Peh Shibud on the Torah level, but not Hakna Shibud. And that's why, even if you hold there's a Shibud on Milvah Peh, that's not what he meant by Kfir Shibud Karkos being like Karka. Only that when there's a Kinyan on the Shibud Karka, that like Karka. In Balpeh, when the Karka is just a way to access my debt of Metalsalon of $50, that's not Kfir's Karka. So I think we would probably assume that Tosfos does agree with Rav Chaim's idea. You know, this never bothered Rav Chaim. As long as the Rambam agreed with this idea, that was good enough. Pashas Tosfos didn't agree with Rav Chaim's idea. If so, what did Tosfos think? Did Tosfos think they were both Hakanah Shibud, and that's why they're both considered Kfir Shibud Karkaos? Or does Tosfos think, nah, they're not necessarily Hakanah Shibud, just anything that has to do with Karka counts as Kfir Shibud Karkaos? That's not clear. That I can't promise you one way or the other. Okay, so that's a little bit of the nature of Shibud. According to Rava, Grun said, what about going back to Abaye? According to Tosfos, what about going back to Rashi? I think for Rashi, it's clear that he doesn't take the Kinyan side. I think for Rashi, he wouldn't necessarily take the Kinyan side. Because it was a real Kinyan. It would be too easy for him to say like Tosfos. So I think for Rashi, it's better to take the Arif Shibud Aguf side. Or into the Shibud Aguf side, and nonetheless, he's Mechadish, that counts as Einu Bershusa. Okay, the last thing I wanted to discuss very briefly is, I think we can do this in 10 minutes, is skipping a little in the Gemara, but already Rashi and all the Mefarshei HaMishnah do this, skipping to the end of the Gemara. Right? This Mishnah, what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, if I lend a guy and there's a Shibud on Chametz, so the guy lends me Shibud on Chametz, then, for first of Bayur Rava Yimatze, who's considered the owner, the Lover or the Malveh? What does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, who's considered the owner for Pesach purposes? The Malveh, right? If the guy lends me, then it's Mutzbanah after Pesach, to consider as if it was his Chametz. And if I lend the guy, it's Asbanah after Pesach, as if it's my Chametz. Right? That's the Malveh. The Gemara says it makes perfect sense for Abaye. It's a case where he didn't pay up in the end. And Lamafreyahu Gove. For Abaye, Lamafreyahu Gove. Right? That makes sense. But what about for Rava? So for Rava, it's a little tricky. And what does the Gemara decide in the end? How does Rava explain this Mishnah? Why? If the guy lends me money, right? The guy lends me money over his chametz. I'm potter. No problem by Rava Yimatze, right? It's the guy's chametz. Why? It's only Mikan Lahabahu Gove. So what does the Gemara say in the end? Exactly, Herhino and he said Me'achshav. Actually, the Gemara just says Me'achshav. Herhino is a Steph Meshach Matarya, but all the Rishonim assume Herhino and he says Me'achshav, and that is the opinion of Rov Rishonim, right? What's the case according to of our Mishnah, right? Let's give an example of a case from our Mishnah, right? What's the example of our Mishnah of the Jew is the Lova, the Goy is the Malve, and the Shibud is on the Chametz. What does the Mishnah say? Mutter. Right? Mutter, we count the Chametz as the Goy's, and it's Mutter. Why? According to Rava, what would Rava say? So, most Rishonim say, no problem, it's a case of here he know it's low. And he said, Me'achshav, what's the case? It's not a case where I just told the guy, oh, you can collect my chametz if I don't pay you. No, it's the case where I actually gave my chametz over to the guy as a mashko, and I physically handed it over to him. Oh, that in and of itself is not significant, because the guy's not called to the mashko. And I handed it over to him, and I said to him, if I don't pay you, Me'achshav, it'll be yours. Now that makes a lot of sense. If you actually hand over metalphon to someone and tell them, if and if not, etc., then Me'achshav, it'll be yours, then that's a fine Kenyan al Sinai. Right? That's a fine Kenyan al Sinai. And so, of course, it's the guys, because I actually physically gave it to him and said, if I now pay you cash, Me'achshav, it'll be yours. So that was great. Okay, which two Rishonim have a different shot than everyone else? This is example Rashi and Mishnah, and most people, right? Which two Rishonim have a different shot? Or one? What does the Rambam say? Didn't get to the Rambam. Who got to the Rambam?
This only works if you are Kobeya a time.
Okay, a Kobeya time, and? Exactly. And anyone know who's the only one besides the Rambam who's head of the Shita?
Iran?
No, but the Iran quotes someone. Actually, what? Yeah, but the all quote this from Rabbeinu Ephraim. All the Rishonim quote this from Rabbeinu Ephraim. It could be Rabbeinu Hanan also holds this. He's a little unclear. But the Rabbeinu Ephraim holds like the Rambam. This is not the Rabbeinu Ephraim Baltosos, like who argues the Rabbeinu Talmud of the Sugya of Hanan B'Shari Surin, if you remember from Yeridea. This is the Rabbeinu Ephraim Talmud of the Rif, who is often quoted by the Rishonei Svarad. So, Rabbeinu Ephraim, the Talmud of the Rif, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Ephraim say it's a case of Hirhino Etzlo plus Me'achshav plus Higiya Hazman Kodem Pesach. Right? They are very, very much understanding. What's the only case when you're going to be potter from Balyu Abayi Matzeh? If you hand it over to the guy and you told him, if I don't pay you by such and such a date, it'll be yours retroactively Me'achshav, and the date came before Pesach.
Why do I need Hamar Me'achshav?
Ah, okay. So, what are the obviously two questions on the Ramah? Question is, why do you need Hamar Me'achshav, and why do I need? Higiyazman, right? So, I think we all understand why you need Hirhino Etzlo, if only because without Hirhino Etzlo, there's no Maisa Kinyan at all. Like, if I don't handle the Metalpilin, Kesef and Shtar don't work, right? So, that's the question. Another way to ask this question is, what's wrong with just Hirhino plus Me'achshav? Right? And what's wrong with just Hirhino plus Higiyazman Kodem Pesach, right? Meaning if I just say Me'achshav, it's retroactive. Who cares when this man came? It's retroactive. And even if I don't say Me'achshav, if I tell him, I'm giving you this chametz, it's yours when I don't pay you in 60 days, and 60 days comes on Yud Beis Nisan, then it's his. Who needs Me'achshav? So, okay, how did the Rambam doesn't say, but how did the Rambam and Ephraim answer these two questions?
The first one, just because I'm afraid it belongs to God, it doesn't mean that during Pesach, it wasn't mine, it wasn't over by Rabbi Matzah.
What do you mean? That's what Ephraim means. You don't believe in Ephraim? Are you deny Ephraim-ness?
No.
Isn't that what retroactivity means? Retroactivity means that we thought one thing, but retroactively we see it was something else. That's what retroactivity means.
And that would get rid of my mafreo would tell me, even though at the time I was doing a veira, would it take away my veira?
No, at the time you didn't know yet what would happen. Obviously, at the time, you know, you probably shouldn't take your chances, because who knows what will happen, lamafreya. But let's say, you know, what do you mean? You know what will happen. I know I'm not going to give the guy cash, and he's going to take it lamafreya.
You can't be mechalik? There's no way?
Maybe. So what Daniel's claiming is that lamafreya doesn't work so well. Lamafreya doesn't really mean that it was there all along. It means like, you know, later we'll view it as if it was there all along. The truth is the big deal in the achronim. This is not the way... the way the Rishonim explained, but the Neil wants to say maybe even if it lumafreya mitbarer that it's his, it wasn't like really his the whole time. Okay, but that's a big chiddush because simple pshat is lumafreya means that was really what happened the whole time. He's going mos lumafreya, right? Simple pshat is like right. If I say to a woman, you're mekudeshes to me, I'll manas that, you know. In 3 Tuesdays from now, you know, I go to the movies. I go to the movies, and most of my friends, she was married, and, you know, if she married someone else, meanwhile, she's Chayiv Misa. Right? So. Right, what's that rule called? Hovel. What daf is that found on? The rule of Hovel? Right, so the way that Rishonim mostly explain is, it's the rule of Hoel found in Daf Mem Vav. That's why you need Higezman Kodem HaPesach. Now this is a machlokes, right? Where we learn from Hoel. What's Hoel? Let's say I have Chometz that's Chala. But Hoel, I could be Shoel, Hatars and Darim on Afrashas Chala, and then it would be mine, so that makes me violate by Rehoel, you might say. Meaning, even if I don't own something, but if I could own it, if I so desired, that's enough to violate by Rabbi Yimatzei. That's a big chiddush that Hoel makes me violate by Rabbi Yimatzei. So the point is that even if I don't actually have bailus, basically by Rabbi Yimatzei might not be a function of bailus, might be a function of nirav and nimtza, lecha. So I don't own it, but I could own it whenever I want. Any second I could own it if I want. So that's enough to count by Rabbi Yimatzei. And that's more enough in Vavam Beis. So the Rishonim answer, because of Hoel, like we find in Daf Mem Vav Beis, Hoel meaning I could own it any second I want by paying. In the end, I didn't pay. But if you have chametz, which you could own if you want, that's good enough for Vayu Rav Vayu Matzei. That is good enough for Vayu Rav Vayu Matzei. Well, that's the same thing as the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Beis. If I had chametz that was challah, didn't belong to me, it belonged to Shevet Kahuna, practically, I would never want to be shoel on the Hafrashas challah and be violated by Rabbi Yimatzei. But since I could, that's enough to violate by Rabbi Yimatzei. Okay, this is the whole issue which we are, maybe we're not going to go into now. What does this mean about by Rabbi Yimatzei, this whole idea of hoel? You really take this Gemara, you know, in the simplest pshat. Anytime I could own something that counts as Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei, that would seem to imply that Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei is not about what I own. Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei is about what has a significant, what I have a significant connection to in my mind, what I have financial stake in, as the Ran Rabban in the phrase of respect, roots of the Kiyumo. Like, maybe Bayi Rabbi Yimatzei is more about my attachment, my mental attachment to the chametz, and not about technical bailus. But that's also an issue we're not going to get into now. Just the other side of the coin, what's wrong with your hino plus a yizvan kodem pesach? I'd like to speak about this maybe for just another 5 or 10 minutes, even though I thought I would just finish it up quickly. But there are some interesting nekudos, so maybe we'll leave this conversation. We'll pick up in this conversation next time, and then dive into the deep waters of Shibudu Rav Nasan. So we'll continue this conversation where we left off next time, because I wanted to do a little less bekitzer.